Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to a special road show. I'm Pete. Today we're driving through a sort of mountain plains area that I drive through a couple times every year, and it just gets more boring every time. You know what I mean? It's very, like, I can understand now why someone who lives in, New York is like, fuck the Empire State Building. Like, I'm not doing that shit. Because, man, you just, like, the mountains and stuff are great and they're cool, but then sometimes when you live here and the mountains are everywhere, you're like, fuck the mountains. Alright, so it's a big ridge of land. Who cares? Who gives a shit? I'm near the town of Silt, which every time I see the road sign, I think it says slit, which of course makes me think of a derogatory term for vagina, which then kind of makes me giggle, and then I'm like, nope, that's just you. And when it's just me that sees it, it's not very funny. And I bet that anyone who's been in the car with me going this way has heard me say this very thing. So luckily for you, it's like you get to be in the car with me. What a lucky thing. I'm headed to Grand Junction, which is kind of a terrible drive for one simple reason. There is a road sign that tells you how far away Grand Junction is, like every 10 miles, starting at, 200 miles away or something like that. I guess it's like the biggest thing between... the west part of Denver and whatever. I don't know. There's like nothing. I mean, Grand Junction isn't a lot. And, this is even less. I stayed in a hotel last night part way which turned out to be a wise decision because I decided to sleep like 3.5 hours the night before. Which, it's been a while since I've done, like, the 3.5 to 4... Like, 4 hours, somewhere in my youth, I discovered is kind of, like, the minimum... That's the minimum amount of sleep I can get where I'm still... I can be an upright, mostly functional human. I don't know if I can think straight or if I act the way I normally would, but I know I can make it through a day on 4 hours. I was gonna go to sleep, and then I had to put all my shit together, because I had to go to a thing on Monday, which was a day off of work, but then it was a work training thing, so I went from my house to there, to up in the mountains, to now further in the mountains, and then come back tomorrow. And, I realized I hadn't done any of the things I usually do before I do a trip like this, I like to do the laundry and clean out the fridge a little bit and stuff so I don't come home to a bunch of old rotten food and shit. It's nice to come back from something and not have a bunch of, like, now not only am I not outside of my real life, but man, am I super back into real life. Like, I am doing laundry and going to work, and I hate it, It's terrible. It's a terrible feeling. But, So I don't know, I somehow whipped myself up into this frenzy trying to get all this shit done, even though it wasn't hard, and ended up laying in bed awake until almost 3 in the morning, and then woke up 4 minutes before my alarm at like 6:15. And I was just standing in the shower, when you're real tired, you have these moments where you're not even really sure what's happening to you, You're standing there thinking, how am I even standing right? Like, how does my legs just work? And that's great. You know what I mean? I'm real happy about that my legs just kind of operate and I don't have to consciously remind myself. But you're only thinking about that because you're exhausted and your brain is just out of control. But I don't know. I rallied. There's a certain way in which, when you sleep really horribly, I think that getting up in the morning is a relief, because you're like, well, the night ended. I don't have to just lay here torturing myself, wondering how much sleep I'm going to get. Now I know how much sleep I'm going to get. None. But it's a known quantity. So that's, I guess, looking on the bright side of life. I went to a thing yesterday, a training thing. It was all fine. I did, there was someone in the training who, you know, the guy running it was joking because it started early. Oh, and it snowed like crazy. So driving through the snow was fun. But this guy was starting it and he's like, thanks for coming down here. You know, it's like an hour away in good weather. And was like, you all made it. And he said something, made some joke about coffee to someone. And she's like, oh no, I sucked down a Mountain Dew on the way. And he was like, oh, you're one of those morning Mountain Dew people. And I was like, man, that's so weird to think about, to wake up and crave a Mountain Dew in the morning, or to have that be my wake-up call. I don't know, man. I just, I think 4 hours of sleep and a cup of coffee, I'm better than if I'd had 8 hours and a Mountain Dew. Like, I feel like I would need the 8 hours of sleep to counteract the Mountain Dew, for my body to survive a full Mountain Dew, a 20-ouncer. I think I need like a full night's sleep, and it's good if I've gone for like a little warm-up jog that day, and just to process it and kind of be able to push it out of my body as efficiently as possible. So I go to this thing, and then I drive last night, and you know, the drive was fine. Like, I wasn't about to nod off. There was one moment where I had this weird visual effect where a shadow from a guardrail was projecting on the wall, and I almost sort of thought that the road had like flip-flopped and I was driving into the guardrail. But that was brief, and also I don't know if that was a tiredness thing so much as a driving at dusk and then there's just light everywhere and I don't know what's going on. But get to the hotel. Hotels are so weird. Like, there are certain hotel conventions, by which I mean things they do in common, not conventions they hold, even though they do that too, that I just don't understand. For one thing, how come when you put a TV in your hotel, and you're like, here's what it's going to do. Every time when you turn our TV off, it doesn't start on the channel that you left it on, like every other fucking TV in the world. Every other TV I've experienced, you turn it off, turn it on, and it starts at the same channel. Perhaps a very old TV would start at like channel 2 or channel 3. Somehow we all decided those channels were, you know, channel 3 was like, oh, you need to turn on your Nintendo? Let's put it on channel fucking 3. I don't know if any city had something going on channel 23, but that shit was fucked as soon as Nintendo came out. But somehow they set it up on the hotel TV so that it always starts at their stupid little info channel. You know, that's like, look at these movies you can buy. Which are movies that, in 2015, I felt like when I was a kid, you would see a movie in the theater, and when would it be on TV? Who fucking knows? Like, 8 years later, on TV, it would be impossible. So going to a hotel and seeing a movie that was recently in the theater was like a big deal. Because you'd be like, hey, this is awesome. Like, I can't rent this. I can't see it on Netflix Instant. I can't have just pirated the DVD. This is the only way I'm going to see it. Now, it seems like movies show up in the theater and basically the DVDs are already printed. They're just kind of waiting a certain amount of time until they, it seems like they wait until they're like, all right, no one's seeing the shit anymore, crank out the DVD, right? So there's like barely a gap. So who the fuck is paying for these hotel movies? Like, I saw on there was Birdman, and I was like, well, that would be cool. I wouldn't mind watching a Birdman, but on the other hand, fuck it. Like, what am I going to do? Spend $9 to watch this in a hotel? And I'll just be kind of bored and looking around the whole time, like not even really paying attention? That does not seem like a good purchase. And I don't know, at least I guess that seems like sort of an indie movie, or at least a movie I was being fooled into thinking was indie. I'm not really sure. But I don't like the whole TV thing there too. Also, there's some, does Nintendo know how many hotels, like a TV or especially a movie selection thing, is controlled by a Nintendo 64 controller? Like, does Nintendo have any idea that that's become an aftermarket thing for their controller? And how the fuck did they pick that controller? Because that controller, I like it. I think it's good. It worked for me. It worked great for 3D games and 2D games. You know, it's got two different ways to hold it. It's cool. You know, it did the C buttons were a little annoying, but the shoulder buttons and the trigger was great. That's Pete's review of the Nintendo 64 controller. But if I was just some guy who went to hotels and didn't play Nintendo 64, some loser who hadn't played Super Mario 64 not only to its completion, but to the collection of all of the stars, 120 whatever stars, I think I'd be a little confused and intimidated by this. And is this a thing? Are people stealing the remotes from hotel TVs? Like, I've never been at a hotel and thought, you know, it'd be a good idea is to steal this fucking remote from my TV at home. Like, this is what I mean by convention. I feel like maybe in 1982, when not every fucking TV had a universal remote, maybe that would be a thing. Maybe I'd say, hey, you know what? If I steal this shit, guess what? Now I've got a remote at home. All the convenience of a remote at home without the bother of spending $8.99 on one, or I don't know, they were probably like $20 back then, right? But that seemed like a big plus. Now, I don't know, man. I don't know why you would steal. To me, it seems like more effort to just reprogram a remote for that kind of thing. And I would also kind of be wondering, isn't there like an app on my phone or some other way to do this? There's got to be a better way than going to a Kmart section and then looking through a little booklet to see if this remote's compatible with my television. That just seems awful. So I don't understand anything about the way they run their TV. I mean, I guess maybe the Nintendo remote is for that specific purpose. It's because they think, hey, look, nobody's going to steal this shit, which they're right. Even if it's not nailed down to a thing or whatever, I mean, they're right. Who the fuck is going to steal that? Although, actually, I'd be more likely to steal that if it was in good shape, which it never is. There's too much place for filth. That's the big downfall of the Nintendo 64 controller. Too many nooks, too many crannies. Don't ask me what the difference is between a nook and a cranny, but there are too many of each on a Nintendo 64 controller. That's one of the hotel things. I like how they all have a bright, bright window that, you know, the sun floods into. The only window in this hotel room was a stained glass window. Why that happened, I don't know. Why they're like, oh, you know what people would really like is a weird mountain scene in stained glass. I mean, it was interesting, I guess. And to be fair, I think my hotel window looked out over some kind of alley or something like that. So that would be nice, too. It also seems sometimes to me like they put you in a hotel room for no reason. Like, why would my hotel room need to be next to someone else if the hotel is barely full? Right? Because she was saying they were not full at all. The person in front of me was checking in and just, she was talking about, oh, we're not even checking the parking lot. You know, normally we give out these tags for people to put on their cars, but it's the off season. We do not care. And yet, it seemed like all the people staying in the hotel were staying in a cluster of five rooms. And then, oh, God, the way people check into hotels, too, is so weird. You know, every person I've watched check into a hotel doesn't seem happy to be there. They seem like, my God, I just, you know, and I get it because the airport is horrible. Yeah, I flew in and I just came from Denver, and boy, my just tired in general. You know, this lady's saying, oh, how was your travels, and you made pretty good time. And the lady was like, well, yeah, I flew into Denver at 5:30, but I was supposed to be there at 12. And I don't know. Maybe I'm just not as interested in the lives of strangers as I should be. That's not like an engaging story, right? Like, my flight was 5 hours late, and I'm a complete stranger to you, because who cares? I wouldn't care about that. I know I wouldn't, because I didn't. I was like, listen, lady, how about you get the hell out of the way so I could check into this stupid fucking hotel? And when are they going to make hotel with, like, an auto-check-in kiosk? You know what I mean? Swipe your credit card, swipe your ID, a key comes out in a little tray, and you get the fuck out of there. And also, it's like the exact opposite of checking in and checking out. When you check in, they had me sign this thing, you know, that said I would pay for the room. And then they also had me sign something about how I wouldn't smoke in there or initial it or whatever. Which is just so stupid. Oh, you're not going to smoke in... If I was going to smoke in the room, obviously I would initial the thing and then smoke in the room. If I wasn't going to smoke in the room, I'm not going to smoke in the room, and initialing the thing has no effect on whether or not I'm going to smoke in the room. I did drink a beer in the room, which was a big problem, because, so I bought this beer from a liquor store, this downtown, by the way. Here's something that you should know if you're going to ever, for some reason, go to a Colorado mountain town vacation. Like, each mountain town is fun. It would be fun to spend about 2 hours in each one. There's nothing to do and nothing to see. But if that's the kind of vacation you like, if you like a vacation where you're like, I don't know, we eat at some restaurants, we go to a bar, and we read books, then you would love it. This would be, just head up I-70 and stop every, you know, 2 hours and come to a new town that's kind of the same town. They all have a main drag that has about 800 ice cream places, a couple bookstores, a candy store, an old-time photos place. They also, on this main drag, will have their weird sort of local government stuff. You know, you'll come to a building and it says, oh, Department of Sewer and Water. And you're like, yeah, this definitely should be on the main street where the tourists come, because, you know, they're going to want to know that we're managing the sewer and water from a central hub. Like, who gives a shit? Why would you do that? And why would you make those poor fucking people who work there all summer when these towns are crowded as shit and they're like, ugh, now we gotta park in this parking lot and all these assholes are here. This is terrible. Just put it a mile away from the main drag and everyone will be happier. But, you know, and then they have a coffee. They always have, like, a funky coffee shop and then, like, sort of a weird coffee shop that is run by somebody who doesn't have any interest in running a coffee shop. And they're usually not very good. I gotta tell you, they're not great. Can I tell you something I'm not a big fan of? When you go to coffee shops and you pay for the coffee, and then they just hand you an empty cup that you fill up yourself with the little thing. I think before I've thought about it, but now I don't like it, and here's why. Those just fucking sit there forever. They're not very warm all the time. They're also, like, coffee's not meant to sit in a metal pitcher for an hour, right? And if they're changing it, I guarantee you most of these places are not dumping it out every hour, which they should be. But also, they should just have water and grinds ready to go, and they could just press you a nice cup of coffee. It's really not that hard. They could do it. It's not... Just get a drug scale. Know how much grinds go in there. Do it. Press that shit and give it to me. That's way better. And then it's fresh, it's hot, it's perfect. You could do it perfect every time with no training whatsoever. Because all you'd have to do is follow a recipe. This weight of grinds for... Okay, I order a medium. You put this many ounces of grinds on the scale. You put that in the press. You heat the water to this temperature. We could even get fancy and get a thermometer or a pitcher that just automatically heats to the right temperature. Then you pour the water in. You set a timer. You wait 1 minute. Then you stir it. Then you wait 2 to 3 minutes. Then you press. Then you pour. That's it. And it takes 4 minutes, and that's fine. Like, I think that's an acceptable amount of time. And hey, if you want, set it up like this. Have both and see which option people take. If people are like, oh, I'll just have this shitty pitcher of coffee, then fine. They've got it, and they can have it, and it's horrible. And then the rest of us who are sane can say, oh, well, I'll wait 4 minutes. If I was in such a hurry that I needed it in 1 minute, I wouldn't be here. Although, that's like exactly what happened to me on the way out of town. I don't understand how this works. How is it that every time I go to a Starbucks, every time I go to a Subway, every time I go to a Qdoba, every time I go to one of these fucking places, how am I in line behind the one guy who has never been to one of these or really understands the concept? I shit you not, I get out of my car. It's early, you know, it's 6:45. And I get out of my car to get a cup of coffee, which normally I don't stop on the way. I make it at home. However, because I'm leaving town for like 3 days, I didn't want to make my own, press my own, and then leave the dishes in the sink or have to do the dishes or whatever in the morning. I thought, you know what? This is a lot quicker. It's a lot easier. I'll just get it on the way out of town. It's cool. I get out of my car, and it's so early that there's not a lot of people at the Starbucks, right? It's kind of just a small group of who seem to be regulars. And these two guys get out, and, you know, I would categorize them as looking like they're a little older. They look construction-y, you know what I mean? Like they've been doing construction for the past 25 years or some similar kind of task. Boots, jeans. They had the jeans with the carpenter's loop in them, which I don't know. I wonder with those, like, were those in style, or is that what you wore as a carpenter before they were the general style, like, in the 90s? And or is it just something that's, like, now an out-of-style type of jean that is super cheap and you're like, great, this is good for construction now because, you know, I don't know. They made way too fucking many of these, and now I can just buy them cheap as hell and do my painting or my construction in them. By the way, that painter's clothes, all white, something sharp about that. I don't know what it is. It just, when you're wearing all white and a painter's hat and you're carrying a ladder, it's like, that guy's got shit to do. So anyway, I get in line behind these two guys, and you know, they look like the kind of guys who are used to getting up at fucking 5 a.m, reading the whole paper, going to work, you know, they go to 7-Eleven and get a coffee, or go to a Starbucks and get it. Like, I would be shocked if they got anything other than black coffee. Maybe coffee with cream and sugar, sure. But, so I get in line behind them, thinking like, oh, whatever. And this fucking guy had never been to a Starbucks before, and he asked them, do you guys have anything sweet? Which I didn't know he hadn't been to a Starbucks before, but when you ask the Starbucks, do you have anything sweet, I mean, that tips your hand as not being an expert. Because that's most of what they have, yes, is something sweet. You know, and he's like, well, a vanilla latte, is that sweet? And it's like, yeah. Yeah, it fucking is. Of course it is. Everything here is kind of sweet. And anyway, they go through this long thing, and then his friend with him just orders a normal drink or whatever. And so the guy working the register is like this kind of hiply dressed guy. I mean, I didn't find it excessive, but you know, he looks sharp. He looks like he cares about his appearance. He's got hip glasses on and stuff, and I guess he was wearing some kind of socks that the other guy noticed from over the counter somehow. I don't even know how that happened. But then he starts telling this guy, he asks him some kind of question about his socks and like, why are you wearing those socks, basically? Like, what's up with the socks? And the guy working there is just like, oh yeah, I don't know, I like to dress nice, or I have a lot of different socks and these are the ones I wore today. You could tell he was a little bit like, obviously I dressed this way on fucking purpose, So you asking me what's up with the socks, and it seems like you're expecting an answer more along the lines of, oh, geez, it's laundry day or some shit, when obviously, I mean, I'm not wearing Argyle visible socks or whatever because it's laundry day. That's not what happened here. This is clearly how I'm dressing. And then the guy starts saying, you know, how it's a generational difference, I guess, or something. You know, he obviously doesn't approve of how this guy is dressed. And but then he just says, like, hey, take it as a compliment. I noticed your socks, you know, take it as a compliment. Which I'm like, that is the stupidest thing that people do. When they say something about someone's appearance and then say, take it as a compliment. I mean, I'm not super sensitive to that shit. I'm not a person who's about to tell everyone, like, ah, that's so oppressive and all that. But that seems stupid. It just seems like a dumb way to try and get yourself out of trouble to say, like, take it as a compliment. Because all you're doing is you're basically being an asshole and then telling someone else how they should react to you being an asshole. Like, well, what's in that for you? Why bother? Just be like, I'm sorry, I'm being an asshole. Or just be legitimately interested in someone's socks, or don't ask about them. It's not, like, hard. How can you not just not say something about someone's socks? You know what I mean? I saw this guy's socks. I couldn't not say something. This guy's wearing shitty 90s carpenter jeans. He's not a fashionista. He's not, I want to put you on my fashion blog. I mean, come on. Give me a fucking break. Leave the guy alone or say something nice. This is what they're talking about when they say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. That does not apply to everything. That does not apply to, like, art criticism. Okay? That does not apply to, if this guy was a fashion designer and asked, what do you think of my socks? And this other guy was a fashion blogger, then it makes no sense to go by the, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all idea. Like, that idea is, it's like a nice idea that people have taken to mean anytime you're talking about something, only talk nice about it. And that's not what it means. It just means if you're going to, like, put yourself out there that way, why not do it for something nice instead of something shitty? Anyway, I don't know. It just got me so upset that this guy was like, take it as a compliment. Because I was like, fuck you. What if I said, hey, what's going on with these fucking jeans? Well, take it as a compliment that I noticed your jeans look like shit. How about that? I hate your jeans. Take it as a compliment. You know, we're different guys. So if I hate your jeans, that means they're good, right? Take it as a compliment. I guess, you know, that would be like if someone who I was very not attracted to, for whatever reason, just kind of came up to me and was like, hey, I don't want to have sex with you at all and never would. And then I could say, well, I'm going to take that as a compliment because this is a person I'm not attracted to. That doesn't make any sense. Everyone should want to have sex with me. Right? Okay. That's all I have to say about that guy. That's enough. That's enough yelling about the guy in the carpenter pants who noticed someone's socks. I could just tell the guy working at the Starbucks was real deflated by this comment, and I don't blame him. He was right to be deflated. I just, you know, I felt bad for him, but also was like, well, what am I going to do? I tipped him my dollar. I went on my way. Just left it alone. Ugh. There's a lot of, I'll say this for these mountain towns, too. Now, there's a new thing. They all used to have one medical marijuana place that was obviously what it was, but also seemed to be kind of ashamed of itself. Now they all have three marijuana places that are either medical or recreational or both.
Yeah, they've definitely
every single place has one now. They got out of that idea of like, oh, we could all just go into whatever city and get it. It's like, fuck that. I'm opening one here, and I'm opening one there, and whatever. I wonder who trucks this marijuana around. That seems like I don't know. I don't think of weird as of weed. I don't think of weed as being this weird thing that, you know, seems problematic at all to me. But I do kind of think of it like the logistics of it seem strange. What kind of package does it come in at the dispensary, you know? Does it look real normal, or does it have crazy ultimate fighting graphics on it? Like the, you know, all these weed places, they seem to go one of two ways. Their graphics and stuff and the way they sort of sell themselves. They either go old hippie way, which is fine. And I'd like to see a little more of that. I don't see a lot of it, but, you know, it seems like a Grateful Dead tie-dye kind of shit. But more and more of them seem to be, like, seriously rejected Ultimate Fighting graphics. Or, like, the kind of graphics you would see on an Affliction t-shirt or something. And they have, like, an X in the name or something like that. Oh, there is a third way they go, which is also stupid, is, like, a pharmacy kind of way. Where they all kind of have this, like, this is, like, a medicine. A lot of them have a, you know, you've got the Red Cross or the White Cross thing for first aid. And they all have a green one. So it's like, this is like first aid marijuana. Which is, I get it. It could be medical, but, you know, I don't need a, I get it. I don't need a visual cue of like, oh, this is medicine. Okay, this is not horrible drugs. But I don't really like the sort of weird Affliction Ultimate Fighting type of, you know, weird neon green with black and white stripes kind of graphics. I don't need that shit. It's kind of weird, like, liquor stores all seem to be, well, 90% of liquor stores have no real branding. They're all just kind of seedy looking in a weird way. Like, if it was a corner store that looked like that, you'd think, what the fuck? I don't know. Let's go to a different one. But it's a liquor store, so we all just accept, like, oh, yeah, they just stack empty boxes by their front door. Whatever. No other place would allow this. But there, it's somehow fine. And, you know, the floor is always horrible carpet or tile. It's never nice looking. They all have the same kind of fridges. Where they have to be glass windows you can see. I mean, they're all just terrible. And marijuana places are kind of the same way, I think, where they've all decided to go with this sort of thing. I think someone should start opening up marijuana places that appeal to, like, older generation. Like, the ones right now, I don't know, I'm fucking intimidated to go in there. I wonder if the older generation wouldn't be, you know, if you made one that was specifically like, hey, everyone who works here is over 50, and they remember the weed back in the day, and they can tell someone, you know, some lady who's not my mom, because my mom would never do anything like this, some lady who's not my mom, you know, will tell me, oh, back in the day, weed was way weaker, like it was different. You know, and she would say that most of the weed you had back then was just sort of a light high, and it didn't make you feel, you know, completely out of your fucking mind and body. And she's like, now it's crazy. Like, your whole body feels high and terrible and whatever. So it would be great. I would want someone like that working there who's like, I remember what it was like, so here's what that was like, or, you know, here's the equivalent. Like, if you want a sort of similar high to what you're used to from the days, this is what you're going to want. This is how you achieve that. Achieve greatness and do it like this. But yeah, so all the mountain towns have that too, in addition to their 5 or 10 offerings. Mountain towns also tend to have horrible restaurants. I mean, just awful. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. But, like, a mountain town that relies basically on tourism, it seems like this. You go to, like, a Glenwood Springs. There's, like, one okay restaurant or something, or two okay restaurants. They'll have the worst breakfast diners in the world, which is crazy, because I have low standards for breakfast diners. I do not care what they look like. I don't care about the aesthetics of the place. I don't care if the menu smells like bleach, which kind of smells like cum. I'm willing to let that all go. But you can't make a fucking omelet like a decent omelet. It's always like burned as fuck on the outside, brown as hell. And then, and it's so hot inside, you know, something they did was wrong. And it's like, they make these weird big thick omelets instead of like a flat omelet. And I don't know why they do it that way, but it's insane. And it's just not very good. It doesn't taste like anything. They never, anything you get just tastes like hotness. Not spiciness, hot temperature. That's the main flavor of most breakfast places I've been to around these mountain towns. How they don't have one good place, I don't know. I don't know if it's like, well, you're trapped here, so what are you gonna do? And also, I kind of wonder if they rely a little on like, well, people are tourists here for the most part. That's like where most of our money comes from. So they're just gonna fucking walk into a place and who cares if they come back? They ain't coming back while they're here. They're gonna go to the other restaurant tomorrow night. So fuck it. Who cares? We'll just keep going. I don't know, too, when people live in these towns, where do they go? Do they just not go out and eat? Do you just become like, does cooking become a hobby for you if you live in one of these towns, regardless of where it was at before? Because you just can't. You cannot go out and enjoy a meal anywhere anymore. I don't know. I think this is going to change, though. I think this is the upside of Yelp, I have to say. Because Yelp is an overall positive force in my life. Because it gives people the option to tell me, like, hey, basically everything's got 3 to 4 stars. But when you see the one that's 2.5 or 2, then you can say, fuck this shit, right? Oh, one last hallmark. These mountain towns, you know, have these diners or these restaurants. They all have the worst bathrooms you've ever seen in your life. This place I was in, you know, you walk through the kitchen to get to it. Like, you literally walk through the place where the kitchen meets the backside of the register checkout area, whatever you want to call that. You walk straight through there. There are 2 bathrooms. There's a really nice sign that's like, restrooms for customers only. Don't make a deposit unless we've made a sale. Which I'm like, yeah, that's nice, reminding me not to take a shit here. That's real cool. And it's like, you go in and they always have the toilet brush and a plunger, a crusted plunger sitting right there. I'm like, well, that's nice. That's a nice thing to just have out. And there's no way you could have bought a hutch from IKEA to put that stuff in. You know what I mean? Just a little whatever. And they always have extra rolls of toilet paper just on the back of the tank. And then they always have like a container, like a bucket or something, somewhere near the guts of the toilet, collecting water that's improperly draining from the toilet. Like, their toilet is always broken. Always. Jesus Christ. Get that shit fixed. Just fix it. And then the floor is always like a tile floor that's come and peeled up all around the edge of the room. Like, you really, the last thing you want to do is take a shit in one of these rooms. I can't imagine. If I was a plumber, I think going on vacation in these towns would make me fucking insane. Because I would just be like, my God. All these toilets with like a yogurt container behind them. By the way, if you insist on not fixing your toilet and putting a container behind it, don't put a food container. Just get a bucket from Lowe's, okay? I don't want to associate, oh yeah, you're reusing a food container to catch toilet water. Is it the clean water? I hope so, but who knows? And I just feel like this is where, if ghoulies were real, this is where they would be. You know, they would be in these bathrooms because no one has opened the tank on this toilet in 800 years. This toilet was found in like an old temple somehow. It's like a mystery of ancient Egypt how they built this toilet. It's that fucking old. And somebody just opened the temple and found this toilet. and they think, should we check it out? Should we see if this is a real thing or if this is a horrible nightmare? Nah, fuck it. Just let's throw it in an old restaurant. It's fine. People are shitting. People are shitting there. There needs to be some kind of convention for, like, shitting and what your restaurant bathroom needs to be like. And also what the responsibilities of each party are. Because let's face it, if you have a bathroom, you can't stop people from taking a shit there. I get that. But on the other hand, I feel like we as citizens of this world should be a little bit more aware and just say, like, hey, I am going to shit at home whenever possible. Like, that's my desire. And if I have to shit out, I will. But I promise you I won't be doing that frivolously. That's not something I will do just because I thought maybe. I just was like, I won't be home for 10 minutes. I'll just take a shit here. No. But no one's doing that, right? I mean, I gotta believe. I have to believe in something. And what I have to believe in is that nobody is shitting in a bathroom that they don't absolutely have to shit in. But, you know, flip side, I think they should have a certain amount of... I shouldn't expect to be in a gas station when I see... Like, a gas station I get... Because at the gas station, it's not like the owner of Come and Go is visiting these gas stations and keeping up the standards. One fucking guy works there. He makes $8 a day. Yeah, cleaning the bathroom, making that shit shine, is not going to be in his priorities, right? Although, I would be totally willing to go to a gas station, I think... And, you know, if the gas was 10 cents more a gallon and they were like, we charge an extra 10 cents a gallon because we pay that to the guy who cleans the bathroom here, I'd say, yeah, you know what? I'm cool with that. It just seems like they completely invent the price anyway. So, like, how do you know when you run a gas station? How do you know? Do you just look at the other ones in town? Like, do you drive by the other ones on the way into work that day? And when do they change it? Do you change it first thing in the morning or at midnight or something? Or do you just, is it like a stock market where you just throughout the day three or four times? I mean, I never really see people changing it. So I assume that this happens at three or four in the morning or some shit. But somebody's doing it. Like, I never see anyone do it, but it's happening, right? Because it seems like it's different every goddamn day. I don't know. I would like to go to a restaurant and not feel like every bathroom I'm in is like post-apocalyptic. You know, it's a every bathroom I'm in is like a bathroom that David Fincher made for a movie to make me think like, my God, this is a nightmare. I hate this. Or, you know, every bathroom is like it's like someone's testing themselves to see like, oh, I saw that bathroom in Trainspotting. Can we match it? I think we can. Let's see what happens. You don't need to try and do that. That is not a selling point for your place. Okay? I'm cool. Just give me a standard bathroom. That's fine. We don't need to make an artistic point here with the shittiness of our bathroom. I was thinking the other day, too. I was watching some... I saw the movie, you know, Borat 2, whatever that is, and Bruno. And it's okay. You know, it has its moments. It was weird. I watched Bruno. I started watching it one time with an ex, like right when it came out on Netflix or video or whatever. We watched it. And there's this part at the beginning where this guy is having, you know, these guys are having gay sex. And it doesn't really show... like penetration, but it's just sort of like it's a softcore style, I guess you could call it. And they're not even all the way nude at any point. I don't know if you even see a butt really, but it's like softcore if softcore was done the weirdest, most hilarious way possible. I mean, it's clearly gay sex that's supposed to be just outrageous and weird. And the one that, you know, really cracked me up, they basically, the one guy stood there with his dick, and the other guy got on an office rolling chair and, like, bent over, and they stretched the office rolling chair out with, like, you know, surgical tubing. So it was slingshotted the guy's ass onto the guy's penis, basically. Which is, you know, totally ridiculous and funny. And I was watching it with this ex, and she was, like, repulsed and grossed out by it, and we couldn't watch it anymore. Like, she couldn't finish the movie because she was like, that's gross. This is so gross. And I thought that was real weird. That was, I don't know, that was her tipping point of, like, I won't watch this. That's too gross. Because, honestly, I think that was the funniest part of the movie to me. But, fine. Yeah, I don't know. I have a problem with that movie in particular and Borat, but that one more, just because when I watch that movie, all I'm doing the whole time is wondering what's real and what's fake. Like, all I'm doing is wondering, when Paula Abdul comes over, you know, there's a part where Paula Abdul comes to the guy's house, and he's supposedly this fashion photographer or something, and they're doing an interview show. And he has no furniture, but he had these migrant worker guys, you know, doing the yard and stuff. And he hires them to just be human furniture, like sitting on on all fours. And then Paula Abdul sits on one of their backs. And I gotta believe, you know, I definitely think that the guys, the migrant worker guys, were in on the joke, obviously. What I don't know is, like, is Paula Abdul in on the joke? Maybe, maybe not. I kind of think so. But the entire movie, every time they talk to someone or every time something happens, I don't know who's in on the joke and who's not. And that makes it not fun for me, because that's all I'm thinking about. All I'm wondering is whether or not this is really happening. You know, or whether or not these reactions are real. Because the other thing is, there's a lot of stuff in that movie that's funny if it's a real reaction, but, you know, the idea that, to me, it's too meta to think of Paula Abdul is not actually doing this, but she is in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, that's boring to me. I don't really care. Paula Abdul is not the kind of star who I'm like, oh my God, can you believe she sat on a migrant worker's back as furniture for this fake movie? Like, yeah, I think the point of that is that she would never do that, and that's why it's funny. Or, you know, what kind of person would do that? That's why it's funny. But if the answer is no kind of person and it's fake, then there's no joke there, right? Like, that's not a joke. That's why I have a problem with that movie. I wish I could remember why the fuck I brought that up now. Seems to happen a lot on these road shows where I just forget what the fuck I'm talking about. I talk about something, and then I, you know, have something to complain about with that. And then I just go into it and make the complaint super long for 10 minutes. And then I'm like, why was I talking about that? Why the hell would I even discuss the movie Bruno? Why is that a point of excitement for me? But I did it, and then I talked about it, and now I don't remember. And now I'm just sort of vamping, hoping to remember, as we drive through some of the most boring landscape of all time. I gotta tell ya, you know, Colorado, Rocky Mountain High, and it's awesome. But when you're in the mountains, you can't really see very much because they're just too tight around you. And when you're in the little cities, it's cool. You see them all in the distance. And then you kind of get out of town, and, like, right now I'm in between Utah and Colorado, and it's just flat nothing. I mean, it is not very exciting. It is very not exciting, I'm gonna say. Well, I gotta go. I gotta figure out where the fuck I'm going. But, hey, you guys stay cool. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Maybe I'll remember why the fuck I was talking about Bruno and finish whatever the hell I was talking about. All right. Talk to you soon.